My dear friends in Christ, today we celebrate a beautiful feast, Saint Alphonsus Maria de Liguori. And this doctor of the church was born in 1669. And something amazing about Saint Alphonsus is the amount that he was able to accomplish in his lifetime. His biographers tell us that he was quite an accomplished musician, as well as a skilled painter. He was a poet. He was the author of 111 books. And if any of you have read his Glories of Mary, you realize these aren't just little books. They're tomes. They're wonderfully researched, beautifully written books. He was the founder of the Redemptorist Order, a renowned theologian, and indeed a great saint. But something that sort of separates Saint Alphonsus a little bit from the rest was a vow that he made, a private vow that he made to Almighty God, which was a promise that Saint Alphonsus made to never waste a moment of time. So important did he find this idea of not wasting time that he made a vow that he would not do this. Saint Alphonsus no doubt knew that time is the greatest commodity that we are given as human beings. It's simple logic. We know, as just a point of fact, that we cannot get to heaven by any other means. No other commodity, money or property or prestige, nothing else can get us to heaven. But this possession that we have can get us to heaven, or rather the use we make of this possession, the possession of time. Now it is sadly true that by nature we are procrastinators. Some may be worse than others, but in the spiritual life, there is always a certain amount of sluggishness, that the graces that God gives us, he gives us all these special inspirations, and we tend to be so lazy making use of them. Our Lord in the Gospel this morning gives us a very dire warning of this. He's speaking to the Jews, but he says, "If thou hadst known but in this day, the things that are to thy peace, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the chosen people, had missed their chance for grace. Christ came down, worked miracles, gave them every possible chance, gave them all possible graces, but they did not use their time. They were sluggish to see. They hardened their hearts. And the consequences were dire." But again, as we look at this, the life of this wonderful saint, we can learn many things, but this is perhaps above all, that we should not waste time. We know by experience the fleeting nature of time. How often do we, as it were, we blink and there goes a matter of years. Where have they gone? How many opportunities have so quickly been missed? And this is why St. Paul tells us, and this is in the epistle for one of the Sundays of Advent, when we have begun a brand new liturgical year. He says, "Now is the acceptable time. Now is when we must rise up from sleep." We cannot do it later. We cannot say tomorrow, because there's no guarantee that there will be a tomorrow. The time that we have right now in our possession is precious. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time we must begin to become saints. So we must be busy. But our efforts should not be activity for the sake of activity, or busyness for the sake of busyness. We need a goal, a directive, something to aim after. Our day should be so ordered that, yes, we do our best to think of God as often as we can, but it's a moral impossibility for us to think about God all day, every day, amongst all of our tasks. But our day should be so ordered that the most important things are first. Pope Leo XIII condemned what he called the heresy of Americanism. And this is because American clergy, in particular, a little bit more than 100 years ago, were starting to give way to this false idea, or maybe we might say a false mentality, that by sheer force of effort, by action alone, God's work could be accomplished. Because after all, we were a fairly new country at the time. How much needed to be done for the missions? How much for the orphanages? How much for the poor children in the schools? But so feverish was the activity of the clergy that it began to push aside the most important things, such as their daily prayers, divine office, daily rosary. Because after all, how could there be time for these things? We have so much work to do. And the Pope clearly reminded them, no, your first duty, chief duty, is towards God. If we have our priorities in order, then God will bless our activity. But only in this order. There's a funny story that was told me recently by a good friend. They had been gone for about a week, and the yard work had gotten a little bit out of control. So before the day got too blistering hot, the man of the house decided he was going to get out there and mow the lawn first thing, and then come back in and pray their morning prayers. So he goes out, and no sooner had he started the lawnmower than it sputters out and dies. Checks the gas, checks the oil, tries again and again and again. And he realizes, okay, need to make a deal. He made a deal with our Blessed Mother. If you just let me mow the lawn, I'll mow the lawn real quick, and then I'll go inside and pray our morning prayers. So again, he tries again and again and again, and that mower would not start. So he's exhausted and gives up, says, okay, I think I'm being taught a lesson here. Goes inside, they pray their rosary, the litany of the saints, their long morning prayers. Goes back outside, one pull, the mower starts back up, and he finishes the mowing. And this, in their mind, was so very, very clear. This was confirmation. This was a little slap on the hand. Yes, we have to be busy. But first things first. And our Blessed Mother, I believe, was giving them that little consolation. That yes, if you put my son first, if you put me first, we'll make sure that it all works out. So my dear friends in Christ, we have much to do. We have to be busy. And I believe that this is something that we ought to meditate on first thing in the morning when we wake up. This is a great fruit from our morning prayers. We can think about what are our challenges going to be this day. What do I want to accomplish? And then first and foremost, what do I want to accomplish in my spiritual life? What do I want to be my spiritual goal? And this also gives us some definite material for our examination of conscience in the evening. How have I done accomplishing these goals? Did I make good use of the time that God has given me? And can I do better tomorrow? An amazing thing, incredibly. At the end of his life, the biographers of St. Alphonsus tell us that he was plagued by thoughts. He was plagued by thoughts that he would never be able to make it to heaven because he hadn't done enough for his Savior. This was the man who had, again, written 111 books, started a congregation of religious. Especially towards the end of his life, he was very ill. He had all sorts of illnesses. But the religious that lived with him would say he had this little piece of marble that was cool, and he would hold it to his head, his aching head, so that he could try and continue to write something about our Blessed Mother or some mystery of the faith. Incredible. So yes, we have a lot to do yet for our God. Let us not miss the time of our visitation like the unfortunate Jews. When Christ comes and visits us with his grace, with his little inspirations, let us make the best of them. We need to work toward our salvation. And let us follow the example of that great St. Alphonsus. Try our very best to spend our time wisely. That is, knowing, loving, and serving Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.